John 11, beginning in verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Then jump over to verse 11. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. They, of course, thought when he was talking about Lazarus sleeping, they thought, well, the sickness has subsided, and he is getting well and resting. That was not the case. Verse 12. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly. Sure do like it when the Lord talks plain. I need that. I need plain talk. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. But notice in verse 15, And I am glad for your sake that I was not there, implying there to heal him. He had not gone to Lazarus when they called for him, informed him about Lazarus' sickness. For I am glad for your sake that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. I'm going to try and preach on this thought. I am glad that Lazarus is dead. I can't even say that without at least some hesitation. But that's exactly what Jesus said. He said, I am glad for your sake that I was not there. That implies that he not going did not heal Lazarus, and the result was Lazarus died. Jesus truly was saying, I am glad Lazarus is dead. I want to ask you a question. How could he say that? He tells us a little bit about it. I am glad for your sake that I was not there. So no doubt what he's talking about, at least in this statement, there's a lot more involved. There's the sisters involved. There's a crowd involved. There's the Jews involved. There's the lost involved. There's a whole lot involved with this account. But as far as the disciples, he says, I am glad for your sake. He is saying, there's something I want to do with you. Now, he's got others he's working with. There's others that I could mention, just don't have time. But as far as the disciples, I believe he was glad because something in him not healing Lazarus, something about Lazarus dying and them seeing he being risen again was good for them, valuable. I think that he said, I am glad Lazarus is dead, that they might learn the value of wondering. Wondering, W-O-N-D. Look at verse 5 and verse 6. Now, he knows that Lazarus is sick. The sisters have sent word to him, and he knows he's sick. And the disciples know that he knows. Look in verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now I am not them, but I am human like these disciples. And I am a disciple like these disciples. And if I had been there, in fact, I don't even have to have been there. I'm here and I am still wondering. And I believe they wondered if he really loves Lazarus, and we know he does. He has demonstrated his love for Lazarus and Mary and Martha many times. They really recognized that he loved them and he loved him, Lazarus. So they are wondering, since he does love them, why is he still hanging around here? Why is he not going? They were wondering, listen to this, what is he doing? By the way, that was not the first, and it was not the last. So somebody said to God, what are you doing? What are you doing? They were wondering. Now, had he gone straight and healed Lazarus, this would not have happened. This is one of the benefits. This is one of the values of him waiting and letting Lazarus die. You see, in his waiting, in his not going, he was working. Now to us, that does not make sense. To me, working is get up and go right now. Let's get busy. Let's head down the road. Let's get to going. And that's what they were wondering about. Oh, so many times our cry is, Lord, what are you doing? Oh, now, I'm not suggesting at all that they were accusing him of some wrong, or even that they thought he was doing wrong. But in their minds, they were wondering, what is he doing? It doesn't make sense to us. It seems like he ought to be on the way. And then in verse 14, where he says very clearly to them, Lazarus is dead. And then in verse 15, he says, let us go unto him. Now he has been waiting, but now he is going. And I believe the disciples wondered again. They wondered first, why is he waiting? Why isn't he doing something about the problem? And now after waiting, he's going, and they're wondering, why is he going now? He told us Lazarus is dead. What's the use? What can he do now? I believe he said, I'm glad for your sake that Lazarus is going to die because of the value of wondering. It'll do us good to wonder what God is doing. Again, I am not suggesting for a second that we should accuse God or say, God, why are you letting this happen? Oh, we're in trouble when we get in that attitude. But in essence, saying, Lord, I want you to tell me. I want to know, what are you doing? Show me. I want to understand. In essence, what that is saying is this. I want to know him better. I want to understand what he's doing. I want to know my God better. I believe he said, I'm glad for your sake that Lazarus is dead or going to die at that point, that they might learn the value of wondering. I believe, secondly, that he said that they might learn the value of watching. These days, these hours that he's sitting and waiting, that he is not going, they have one thing in mind. What is he going to do? They spend this time watching him. And I promise you, the time we spend watching God is not wasted. They are watching Jesus to find out, to discern, to understand, what is he going to do? Now, they knew that he cared. He loved them. And they knew that he could go and heal him. but what will he do? In verse 6, it says, when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still at the same place where he was. He didn't take one step out of town. He stayed where he was, and guess what? They were there with him, watching him. It'll do us good to watch God, to see what he's doing when it seems like he's doing nothing. I mean, they know the need. Lazarus is sick at this point, and he is a distance away. They recognize the problem, but they're wondering how will he take care of it, and they are watching him. It'll do us good to watch God, be able to see what he's doing. So many times we're looking at circumstances, we're looking at problems, we're looking at the issue, we're looking at the need instead of the God of the need. Verse 16, Thomas said, let us also go that we may die with him. At least, and I believe they all agreed with this. You see, as we find in these verses, the last time Jesus was in that area where Lazarus was, the Jews had tried to kill him. And if he goes back to that point, they're still going to be mad. They're still going to hate him. And there's a likelihood, a very good likelihood, that they're going to take up right where they left and do the best they can to kill him and them, the disciples. But these disciples said, let's go. If he's going, we're going. And if we die in the process, so be it. Well, I do commend them for that. They are watching Jesus. In other words, when he stayed, they stayed. When he went, they went. Notice again that everything he does is because he loves Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And everything God does, everything he does in your life and mine, we may not be able to calculate this. It may not add up in our spiritual calculator. But I guarantee you one thing. Everything he does in my life and yours is because he loves us. Everything. No matter whether he's staying, seeming like he ain't moving a bit, not changing anything. And in fact, while he's waiting, seems like things are getting worse. Or whether he's on the way to hell, he still does what he does because he loves. And I know that, and you know that, and the disciples knew that because they watched him. They knew he loved them. I believe he said, I'm glad for your sake that Lazarus is dead, that they might learn the value of wondering, what is he going to do? The value of watching, let's watch and see what he does. Let's watch God. But also because of the value of waiting. Now, this is a hard one for me. Because we think, at least I do, and I don't think you're too different than me, I think doing something means doing something. And you can't do something without moving, without going, without working. You can't stay still like he did and call it moving, working, doing something. To me, that's doing nothing, but I ain't God. And he was doing some of the greatest work by waiting. Explain that. I can't explain it, but I can tell you it's true. Just because we don't see him doing what we want, just because we don't see him doing what we expect, even though we may not see him answering our prayer as we desire, that does not mean he's not working. They are learning the value of waiting. Sometimes he does his greatest work when it seems like he's not doing anything to us.
The fact is, he's doing more. Oh, many times. See, there's more involved with this than Lazarus. There's more involved with this than Mary and Martha. There's the disciples. And he's not just working with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He's working with the disciples. That means he's working with us. He is working on you. You may not be the problem. You may have a problem. But that don't mean you don't need to be worked on. By the way, I include myself. He said, I am glad Lazarus is dead because you could not learn the value of waiting if I'd hurried down there and healed him. I'm glad. Learning the value of waiting. I believe he said, I'm glad Lazarus is dead, that might learn the value of wondering and watching and waiting and also the value of weeping. We see many people in this story weeping. The sisters, Mary and Martha, are weeping. Verse 33, Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping. So we know the sisters are weeping and the friends are weeping. Verse 35, Jesus wept, Jesus is weeping. And I've read through these verses time after time after time after time after time. And there's one group involved that I don't see them weeping at all, and that's the disciples. Now, don't misunderstand me. That does not mean they didn't care. And the fact that the scripture is silent about them weeping is not a clear indication that they did not weep. It is possible they wept also, but the Bible doesn't say that it did. So I think there's a point in that. I believe Jesus is saying, I am glad Lazarus is dead because you need to learn the value of weeping. What the disciples did do in verse 8, we don't see them weeping. We don't see them broken. We don't see them disturbed, even though I'm sure they were to a point, but we don't see them weeping. What we do see in verse 8, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Now, I'll be honest, that's a pretty good point. They are reminding God. Good luck on that one. Reminding the Lord, remember the last time we went through there, it didn't work out too well. They tried to kill you, and if you go back and we go back, they're going to try it again, as I've already mentioned. But the disciples said, I mean, listen, in Lazarus' town, in Mary and Martha's town, there are people weeping. There are people broken. There are people disturbed, distraught, because their hearts are breaking. And back up where Jesus and the disciples are, the disciples are saying, if you go back down there, it ain't going to be good for us. It ain't going to be good for you. Now, again, that's not really bad, because it's the truth. But where is their compassion? Where are their tears? Where is it that they're weeping? I don't see it. And I believe one of the reasons why Jesus let Lazarus die is to teach those disciples the value of weeping. See, if he had just rushed on down there and healed him, boy, there'd been delight and joy, a thrill, and he would have gotten glory, there's no doubt. But there would have been no weeping. There would have been no brokenness. And Jesus knew there's some people who need to learn how to weep. Now, I tell you what, I don't like to weep. It shows a broken heart. It shows hurt and pain. I do not like to be in that place myself. I do not like to see others in that place. But I guarantee you one thing. I would rather us weep than not to care. I would rather be broken than not to be touchable. I do not want to get so hard that I don't care. And Jesus is trying to teach these disciples, there's hurt in this world, and you need to let that hurt hurt you. You need to be touchable. You need a heart tender to where you're not concerned about if there's danger. You're not concerned about the Jews. You're concerned about a broken family. You're concerned about friends that are hurting. He wanted, and he did wait, that they might learn the value of weeping. In fact, to be honest, and you men need to listen, a good cry is helpful. I know we've been taught, don't cry, drop him tears. All I can say is the adult that says that, fooey on them. Or the friend that says it, fooey on them. Now, I know there ought to be a time where we stop crying, get through it, get healed, get help, get better, improve, put it behind us. But I guarantee you, a good weep shows us that we care. And a good crying is, Barney would say, is therapeutic. It'll help you. I'm talking about emotionally. It'll help you to just let it out. And I know we men, we too tough to weep. We shouldn't be. May just speak to our hardness more than our manliness. Weeping helps. Now it hurts, there's no doubt about that. But it helps. It detoxes the body. It soothes the spirit. It even relieves pain. I'm talking about weeping, crying. It improves your mood. It helps you to recover. It gets you through it. But if there was no physical and no emotional benefit, weeping shows we care. And he wants us to care. And he did not go and heal Lazarus. He let Lazarus die. That these disciples and us this morning might learn the value of weeping. He let Lazarus die and was glad to do so, that they might learn the value of wondering and watching and waiting and weeping and the value of worship. Look in verse 45. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Now that says that they got saved. But if that was happening with the lost people who saw what? Him get healed? No. Too late for that. In fact, if Jesus had come and healed Lazarus, this may not have happened. All I know is Jesus waited and it did happen. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, the Jews, those that the disciples warned Jesus about, get a hold of this. The ones the disciples were afraid of, the ones that earlier had tried to put Jesus to death, some of them got right with the Lord when they saw what Jesus did. And I say, from that point, we can be assured that there were people worshiping God. They recognized who Jesus was. They saw. Now, had he come and healed Lazarus, that would have been great. But that would have been one of many. If you read the Bible, Jesus healed thousands. I mean, there were times when he healed everybody there that was sick. I mean, we have specific ones that we can point to. The blind man, the one with the withered hand, and we can point to this one and that one and that one. But the Bible is very clear. Jesus healed a lot of people. And Lazarus, had he just went and healed him, would have been just another of the bunch. But when he let Lazarus die and he raised Lazarus from the dead, that took it to another level. And they saw Jesus was somebody different. They saw he was not an ordinary man. In fact, in verse 4, he calls himself the Son of God. I believe he was glad Lazarus died that they might learn the value of worship. They saw he is aware. When they came and told Jesus Lazarus is sick, humanly speaking, at that point, he was made aware. He knew intellectually, my friend is sick. And there's no doubt he knew that Lazarus was sick in a significant way. Not a cold, not bronchitis, not a stumped toe. It's bad. But that ain't all Jesus knew. Jesus knew that Lazarus was sick, and if he left him alone, he was going to die. And he also knew, I'm talking about, here's a man that ain't like ordinary men. The disciples knew a limited amount. Mary and Martha knew a limited amount. The friends and family knew a limited amount. But Jesus knew it all. He was aware before it happened what was going to happen. And by the way, he knows what's going to happen with your situation. He's not stumbling through step by step saying, boy, I don't know what I'm going to do now. He knows exactly what's going on. In fact, he's not only aware of it, do you remember? He is very much in charge of the whole situation. Jesus said, I'm glad he's dead because I want you to learn the value of worship. Because when you see me raise him, you'll know I'm not an ordinary man. I have been aware of the whole thing the whole time, and he knows what's going on in your life. He's aware. I'm talking about them worshiping him. Why would they worship him? Because they realize he's not an ordinary man. He is aware, but also they realize he was attentive. I mean by that, he really did listen to those messengers that came telling him about Mary and Martha being troubled and Lazarus being sick. He really listened. He didn't let it go in one ear and out the other. And he was attentive to the plea of the disciples. He listened. He was aware, but he was attentive. And I want to say this morning, the Lord is listening to you. He listened to the disciples. He listened to the messengers. He listened. He was attentive. Most people would say, well, I sure am sorry to hear that. I'll try and pray for you. And they'd forget it before the day ended. Not Jesus. He was attentive. That means he took the pain, the problem upon himself. You want to know how I know? Number one, he's God. But number two, he wept also. Tells me he was attentive. I'm talking about they learned the value of worship. They realized he was different. He wasn't the ordinary. He was aware. He was attentive. He was able. Verse 43, he says, Lazarus, come forth. Guess what? Lazarus came forth. Now, I have heard some preachers say that if the Lord had not called Lazarus' name, if he had just said, come forth, the entire graveyard would come alive. Well, that sounds real good preaching stuff, except for one thing. It ain't so. God's power is not out of control. If he utters a word, if he has Lazarus on his mind, he does not have to say, Lazarus, come forth. All he's got to do, in fact, he don't have to say anything. All he's got to do is will it so. But God's power is very much under his control. And when he said, Lazarus, come forth, Lazarus is the one that came forth. He's able. I want to remind you something. You listening? You have to remind Baptists every once in a while to listen. God is able to handle what you're going through. He's able to handle the situation. He's able to handle the problem. He's able to take care. If he can raise Lazarus, I believe he can handle anything I got. If he can raise the dead, I believe he can handle what you're going through. I'm talking about they learned the value of worship when he let Lazarus die and raised him from the dead instead of healing him. They worshiped him because he was aware, he was attentive, he was able. And listen, because he was accused. Now, we've already seen that some of those Jews, when they saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead, they believed. But did you hear what I said? Some. Look in verse 37. And some, the other part of the some, the other part of the Jews, and some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? I'll tell you what, you cannot satisfy lost people. It don't matter what God's doing, they ain't satisfied. I mean, Jesus came and raised the man, and the lost bunch is saying, why didn't he heal him? They're accusing him of doing wrong. There's no way in the world to please a lost person when it comes to spiritual things because they don't understand spiritual things. But here's where I want to get to, verse 46. And some of them went their ways to the Pharisees. That bunch that said, I'll tell you one thing. I think he should have come early. And I think he should have healed him. And then Mary and Martha and all their friends would not have their hearts broken. I think he should have done something different. And that bunch not only complained, they went and told the Pharisees. Guess what? That's the bunch that wants Jesus dead. It says, and this is important, went their way. And guess what? Here's my point. Jesus let them go. Now, our modern way of evangelism, our modern way of trying to reach souls for Christ, would have said, now, wait a minute. Come here, fellas. Let's talk this over. Maybe I've been too abrupt. Let's talk this over. But Jesus, in essence, is saying, if you want to say no to me, that's your choice. But I will not water down my message to appease you. Here's what he's saying. If you want to go to hell, you'll have to go to hell. But I will not change who I am. I will not change what I've done. I will not change my message. Now, in our day, easy believism is rampant. That all you got to do is just pray a prayer. Just ask Jesus in your heart. And to be honest, getting saved is praying a prayer and asking the Lord to forgive you. But I guarantee you one thing, it ain't something like you say, okay, God, I'm ready. It is when God convicts a person, God shows them their sin, shows them their helplessness, shows them they're on the way to hell and deserve it. And in that moment, in desperation, they call on the Lord and ask him to save them. And Jesus Christ, the God of heaven, will not water that down. He let them go. Instead of saying, oh, come on, let's talk about this. We can work something out. I may have been too harsh. No, 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 not God. And that's the same God of our day. His message will not change. His way to heaven will not change. His way of us who know him getting help will not change. Verse 44, and he that was dead came forth. I want to end by saying this. He did it the right way. And his way worked out pretty good. He did it the right way.